I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's a question for you, and I actually want you to answer. I want you to text in the answer. Are you ready? Remember, when you text in, that's one of my love languages. So, are you ready? No pressure, but I mean a little bit of pressure because I want to hear from you. What sounds fun to you right now? What sounds fun to you right now? One of the things that I absolutely love to do is at a family wedding, burn up the floor dancing. Because when I grew up, my parents used to move the furniture out of the living room and pair up all seven kids. And they taught us to sugarfoot and jitterbug and all that fun stuff. And so all these years later, we all love to dance. So when we go to a family wedding, man, that is just a happy place for me. What sounds fun to you right now? Text me, 877-933-2484. My friend Annie Downs joins me today. Her new book is titled, That Sounds Fun, The Joys of Being an Amateur, The Power of Falling in Love, and Why You Need a Hobby. And listen to what she says. We undervalue and we downplay fun and the place fun ought to have in our lives. We don't prioritize the fun things, the simple things. Finding fun changes things. Fun is medicine for a sickness that we all have. Searching for fun doesn't mean you're not responsible, and valuing fun doesn't mean you're not grown up. It just means you realize there's something you've lost and are willing to go look for it. What sounds fun to you right now? This listener texted in, I miss hot yoga. What about you? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Annie Downs is a best-selling author, sought-after speaker, and successful podcast host based in Nashville, Tennessee. She shoots straight, and she doesn't shy away from tough topics. She's a huge fan of laughing with friends, confetti, soccer, and boiled peanuts. You can find her on the web at anniefdowns.com. Dear Annie, it's been way too long. Welcome back to the show.
Susie, I'm so glad to get to talk to you. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. As soon as I heard your voice when we connected before the show, I almost started laughing because, you know, your voice just makes me laugh. I don't know why. But
my voice sounds like my face.
That's exactly right. If you wonder what Annie looks like, listen to her voice because her voice looks like her face. Okay. So good to have you. And I'm excited to talk about this book. I was saying before the show, people are weary in battle. And I think we've deprioritized fun as if it's not spiritual because the times are so serious. So I'm looking forward to digging into the content. But we love to start by talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been pondering these days.
Yeah, do you know, especially right now as this book, That Sounds Fun, has just come out this week. I think you're really going to love this, Susie. The girl I mentor and I, she's pregnant and her baby is due this week. And so we spent between Christmas Eve and Monday, which was exactly 40 days, praying for each other as we were both birthing this week.
Wow.
Mine, a book, and hers. Isn't that cool?
Very cool. We
prayed every day. We read a scripture together every day, and we both prayed for each other every day from Christmas Eve until Monday. And so it was just this really special connection thing between us. And this one of the scriptures that in that praying that the Lord just kept taking me to, especially when I was praying about like my work and why this matters. And it's in Acts 26, and this starts at the second half of verse 17. And this is when Paul is recounting his conversation with Jesus when he went from Saul to Paul. And he says, and this is Jesus talking to Paul. He says, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And gosh, it was just so encouraging to read and to pray back to Jesus. Like, my deepest hope is that the work I do is where Jesus has sent me to open people's eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And so it just felt so profound and generous of the Lord to keep bringing that scripture to the front of my mind as this book was coming out.
I love that so much. You know, I like football. I love to watch football. And about a month or so ago, I put something kind of funny on my Facebook page about the game that was going on. And while a whole bunch of people chimed in and we were kind of bantering back and forth, one woman says, are you blind to the times? Do you not know what's going on? How could you be so shallow? And I was like, wow, and how did I accept your friend request? I have no idea. How is it? We are friends. But I mean, it's a bummer just because, you know, I am very focused and I'm very aware of the times, but there has to be some escape hatch. And I believe that's from God. You know, he leads us to paths of peace and of rest. So speak to that kind of misnomer around the idea of fun.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, Susie, especially writing a book about fun, that the things that I get pushback on are that these times are very serious, and that's true. And then people say to me, Annie, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for fun. Like, that was what I did as a kid. I don't have time for that now. But you're right. The escape hatch is a good example, a good reminder for people. I like to think about fun like a river, and it's very wide, and there's a lot of options. But on one side, you can go too far and get into escapism where my life is so hard, I need to get out. And so I'm going to drink too much, eat too much, be with the wrong group of people, do the wrong things, Google the wrong thing, and kind of go way deep into an escapism version of this, of where I don't want to be in my life. And so I want to be able to erase it. And then the other side is you aren't allowed to have any fun because life is hard. But there's so much in the middle, and there's so much space for learning. What does it look like to have fun and have space and really enjoy life every day, especially after last year, Susie, and the way 2021 has started, especially after what we have experienced? What is it like, and how do we find fun in the life that we already have? That is the challenge, but also I think the gift and the invitation from God.
Yeah. And the thing is, we won't even accept the challenge if we don't believe, one, that it's important, and two, that God says, yes, I actually want you to have some belly laughter. Because even physiologically, belly laughter is super healing to the body. And we've covered that kind of thing on the show before. But I think if we don't really believe, it seems like not very spiritual, to belly laugh with a friend, we won't prioritize it. And we may even feel guilty when we do.
That's the truth. Is so many people feel guilty when they think, I mean, I talk to moms a lot, Susie, who will say, I'm not the fun mom, but I don't have time. And there are people who will say, I'm just tired. I don't want to have fun. And so it is this bigger conversation, which is how it can actually be a book about fun, because it's about so much more than just like, how do you find fun, right? Because we've got to start asking, like, if I'm so tired and I don't want to have fun because I'm tired, how do I fit rest into my life? And why was it so easy for me when I was 7, 8, 9 years old to have fun without even thinking about it, but now I can't? I mean, it's just a lot of questions we have to ask ourselves about how we're spending our time and what matters most, and what are the disciplines that we've put into our lives to be the healthiest versions of ourselves we can be. And I actually think fun is one of those disciplines.
Indeed. You know, I love in this book how you've got these different divider pages with thousands of answers from your friends and followers.
Yes.
Who've answered. Let me just read a few friends here. Gathering with friends and family. Summer swimming at the lake. Watching the sunrise. Fresh corn on the cob. Reading on the beach. Girls trip with my besties. Laughing with family friends. Now I'm going to read a few texts that came in. I love some of these. Mary Jane says, sitting and talking with my 30-year-old boys. That's so fun for me. Mary Jane, I have my three boys are in their 30s as well. I love that. That's one of my faves as well. Jean says a trip to Ireland. Melania says a group bus trip anywhere with blessed byways. And Tammy says ice skating every Sunday from 3 to 5. We have the whole family over to skate. So much fun. Come on. Love that. Janet says a dance party on the beach, laughing all night long, hugging everyone. Janet, that's fantastic. This one, I'd love to go for a walk in a nice climated area like by the ocean. I'm like yes to all these. All right. Yeah. Terry says, I'd love to go watch a movie at the theater. This goes to show you how many things we've lost in this last year. This one says, dancing sounds amazing. I look forward to lots of dancing with Jesus. Health issues prevent it right now. I'll read a couple more. Judy says, while waiting for my son's bus, I heard the Lord tell me to slide on the ice like I'm ice skating. My boots have no tread. I felt like a kid. It was so fun. Judy, you heard right. I love it. Okay. Jennifer says, so many things would be fun. Getting together with friends, being able to hug them, laugh out loud without masks on, singing in my church choir. Thank you for asking. And I'll read a few more as they come in. But I'm
That's so important, go ahead. Susie. Even that last thing where she said, thank you for asking, is we aren't asking each other about fun at all right now. And so there is something that happens when someone asks you what sounds fun that really makes you think and it makes you stop. And it feels like, man, that person really cares. So even in that, all those examples were awesome. But I even love that she said, thanks for asking, because that is a really important part of this.
You know, giving yourself permission, you know, I mean, I'm a brain science nerd, you know, I'm an amateur, to refer to your book, I'm a total amateur, but I love how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. And it's proven fact, it's nourishment for your brain, and it raises your IQ to have something on your calendar that you look forward to anticipate.
Yeah.
The anticipation is super healing for your brain. I mean, it is no wonder God made us that way, right? To not only anticipate heaven, but to anticipate goodness in the land of the living, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that one of the things I talk about a couple of times in the book is this, that scripture that talks about how we have eternity set in our hearts. And that's one of the things we feel when we are doing all those things that those men and women just described, the ice skating on the sidewalk, the even going to a movie, all of that helps us connect with something that feels really deep in our souls. And it's because we were always meant for Eden, right? It was always supposed to be simple and pure and fun and holy. And we lost that. We're not going to be able to get that back, but we can have these glimpses of it. It'll be different when Jesus returns. It'll be different when there's a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, we get this journey in the middle. I like to say a lot, there's always a rainbow. There's never a pot of gold, right? Like there never is. And yet we always talk about the pot of gold when God's real promises are in the rainbow. And so we can we on this journey, the rainbow kind of journey, it's like, man, all of those things connect us to something so much deeper.
I love this. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig into more of Annie's content. I want you to keep answering, friends. I haven't heard from everybody. So tell me, what sounds fun to you? There's no wrong answer. Well, there is. If it's illegal, that's not good. Like she said, you don't want to go to the deep part of the river, but really, what sounds fun to you? I would love to know. Text 877-933-2484. And we've got five copies of Annie's book, That Sounds Fun, to give away. And the way you do that, if you're new to Faith Radio, is you text the word book in its own separate text. No quotes, no smiley face, just the word book. And it kicks back a link and you enter the drawing that way. We do it that way because we give resources away every single day and we don't have the manpower to manually enter every single address. You just take a few seconds and it gets you entered just like that. Five copies to give away. Super excited. Text book to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. That's another one of my behind-the-scenes bucket list things. I would love to be a backup dancer on one of those fun Christian videos. I would love it so much. Oh, is this thing on? Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Talking to my friend Annie Downs. Her book is titled That Sounds Fun. And I'm asking you to engage, friends. I want you to text me. It's time for you to dream a little. It's time for you to prioritize some soul-stirring fun activities. You know what? This is part of the joy-filled life. It absolutely is. So what sounds fun to you? Text 877-933-2484. I love this one. She says, dancing is fun. My husband and I learned a ballroom dance years ago. We enjoy getting together with fellow believers to learn new dances, new steps, and practice. Our favorite is the foxtrot. I love it. And a lot of texts are coming in. I love that. Annie, you wrote this, and I want you to unpack it a bit. You said, one of the kindest things I've done for myself in the last decade is to learn to pay attention to myself without judgment. Say more about that.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things is we are so quick to be pretty harsh judges of ourselves first. I mean, you can tell based on how you're feeling about other people, how you're feeling about yourself. And if you're quick to judge other people, it's probably because you're using that same ruler on yourself, and it's a harsh ruler. So to me, one of the ways I've really grown in as a person, as an Annie, and in my enjoyment of my life is learning to be kinder to myself and less judgmental of my own self. Even having less judgment toward how I think things through, the decisions I make. And I just think there's so much joy and so much power in saying like, okay, if I'm being unjudgmental, even towards myself, why am I doing the things I'm doing? My counselor kind of led me that way, Susie, because when I would go in and say, oh, I don't know why I'm still struggling with this or why this person keeps coming back around, she's like, okay, what if we stopped judging and just started asking questions? And it was so helpful. It really gave me a better perspective even on my own life.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, you talk about the joys of being an amateur. This one, I think there's a lot here that we could talk about, but just start there, just how that came to you, the joys of being an amateur.
Yeah, so because in our jobs, we have to be professionals, right? I mean, we must be professionals in our job, but that's the only place we have to be professionals. And what happens is we are unwilling to try new things. We don't want to be amateurs. We don't want to be new at something. It makes us feel like, well, if I'm not going to be good at this, and I'm not sure I should try something new, because what if I break it, or what if I try to bake a cake and it doesn't work, or what if I try this new sport and I get hurt, or what if I invite a friend to get coffee that I've just met or to go on a walk and they say no? You know, there's so much pressure to be professional at everything. And when I started really having conversations with friends about this idea of fun and how it matters in their lives and why it matters, I noticed that one of the big hesitancies everyone had was trying something new and engaging in things that they didn't know how to do well because they were afraid of what would happen. And gosh, it is just so much more fun to be new and to try and to give yourself permission to do that.
I mean, kids don't even have that. You know, I tell you, my middle son, Luke, they're grown now, but he's just a different, he just thinks differently, thinks out of the box. I think he's got just a brilliant mind and a very sensitive spirit. But I mean, he wanted to try hockey in middle school. Now, living in Minnesota, kids start skating at 3 years old. And here he's like seventh or eighth grade. So everybody playing hockey is already like skates like professionals. And he wanted to try it. And I mean, my heart just was overwhelmed with love for him, because I just thought, he knows full well all of our neighbor kids are skating all winter long. And went out for this community team, and he was not good at all. And I as a mother, I couldn't have loved him more. And he gave it a shot and he did it. And he said, that was fun. That's what he said. That was fun. Like, he was so over himself. You know, I don't know. There was something so precious. And I wonder if how God feels when we get over ourselves and we don't have to be the best at everything. And we can just enjoy it for the joy of it. I mean, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it?
It really does. And I mean, you're saying it exactly right, Susie. We did it when we were kids. Like, all of us did. We all tried every sport we've ever played, every recipe we've ever tried. There was a time we did it the first time.
Yeah,
and we just need to go back to that a little bit. That's part of what I love talking about when I'm talking about That Sounds Fun, the book, is I love talking about, like, do you remember what you loved as a kid? Why did you ever quit that? And can we bring pieces of that back into your life now?
So good. Okay, this text came in and I had to double check. I thought it was my husband, because this is something he says all the time, but it was some other man talking about his wife. But he said, Susie, chasing my wife around the house and playing volleyball is fun. So I love that. I'm not the only one getting chased. So way to go, dude. I love it. So, all right, Annie, you write this. If your heart flourishes, if the enemy is silenced from telling you that your life doesn't matter, you know that even the tiniest steps towards something your guts are saying that you're made to do is worth it, amateur or not. So let's just go a little bit deeper with that whole idea. What stops us? You know, we want to be perfect. We want to be pro. What is the big lie in there that keeps us from going, you know what? I'm a weekend warrior. You know, I paint on the weekends.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what is that underneath all that?
Well, I mean, I think it might be different for different people, but I know one of the ones that a lot of my friends tell me, and people who've read the book and experienced the book have said, has held them back, is that that lie that so many of us hear at different times of, like, if people really knew, would they still love me? If I failed at this, would I still be loved? If I tried this and it didn't work out, would I still be loved? Am I still going to be chosen? It's a lie that we've heard from the beginning of time, right? Mm-hmm. And so as soon as the enemy in the garden was trying to tell Eve that God wasn't who God said he was, we've been trying to be convinced that we aren't going to be loved, and that we can't trust the relationship we're in with the Lord that is so safe. And I know that that sounds wild to talk about when you're talking about fun, but really how you have fun and how you choose fun in these moments of release are actually just a microscopic version of the bigger rest of your life that is saying like, yeah, if you won't try a new recipe, I bet it's really hard to have hard conversations for you too, because you aren't willing to fail by yourself. I bet it's extra hard to fail with other people.
Wow. Justin writes in, I haven't asked myself that question in a long time, but going for a run in a snowstorm sounds fantastic. So Justin, all of us here are telling you, you've got to do that next time the storm hits. All right. You got to do that. I love it so much.
Isn't that something too, Susie, that he says, no one's asked me that in a long time. There are so many of us that have spent the last year not asking ourselves or each other about anything fun. We've been handling so many other things that we've lost that question even to ourselves, and it's time to bring it back.
Amen. You know, in so many words, and Jesus said, and I mean, his life said it as well, but that things are proven right by their fruit. I mean, you see the fruit of something. So I'm going back to that gal that, you know, really slammed me on Facebook for talking about football because she was so spiritual. I mean, what is behind that? I mean, only God knows the heart, but I mean, when that response comes, you think the fruit of that, it was ugly. I mean, she was mean and condescending. Yeah. I mean, that's the fruit of that. So, I mean, how do we get to that place?
Man, I think you can correct me on this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too, Susie, but I think most times people yelling on the internet are really afraid. I think they're really afraid. I think they're afraid of losing control that they thought they had. They're afraid of things changing that they didn't want changed. They're afraid that they know something that other people don't know and the world is in trouble without everyone knowing it. I think fear is so often the basis for anger. Is that what you've experienced too?
100% agree. I have felt that the vitriol, and they say anger is a secondary emotion to either fear, hurt, or frustration. So I think so much of that is people not knowing what to do with their emotions. But then again, if you don't know what to do with them and there's no outlet for you to have healthy fun, it comes out in an unhealthy way, some form. And we only have a minute before the break here, but would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. It's going to come out of you.
Yeah.
Everything does. Fruit always grows from trees. You just get to decide what kind of fruit it is.
Oh, God. Somebody give me an amen on that one. I'm talking to Annie Downs today in her book. It's a hardcover book. That Sounds Fun. The Joys of Being an Amateur, The Power of Falling in Love, and Why You Need a Hobby. So what sounds fun to you if you haven't texted in? And have you thought of a hobby that maybe you'd like to dabble in, but you've been kind of afraid because you're not going to go pro right away? I'm just teasing you. But I would love to know. Text me 877-933-2484. And in the separate text, if you want in on the drawing, Revel has offered us 5 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. More with Annie Downs in a moment. That song. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Annie Downs, and she's got a brand new book out. It makes me smile. That Sounds Fun. The Joys of Being an Amateur, The Power of Falling in Love, and Why You Need a Hobby. We've got 5 copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So I've been asking you to text in what sounds fun to you. Now, maybe the thing that sounds fun is something you did years ago and you've just not prioritized it, not given yourself permission, something you loved that you would like to do again, or maybe it's something you've just never done before. Like Leland, he just texted in. I love this. Hello, Susie. I'm a 53-year-old male who took up downhill skiing for the first time this year because I was determined not to sit on the couch and mope about. It's been awesome. Scary at first, yes, but I reminded myself that I was new at it and I gave myself permission to fall and make mistakes. because I'd never done it before. And Annie, these listeners are the best. This woman says, drums. Listen to this one. Drums are a blast, even for retired women.
Yes. Your people are very in touch with their fun. I love it.
Oh, they're amazing. I love them. So here is kind of a little bit of a turn, a little bit of a deeper question, but hang with me as I set it up. You know, Scripture tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And the other day I was pondering that verse from Psalm 84. I think it's the second verse. And it says, "With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God." I was just sitting with that and thinking, when was the last time you actually shouted so joyfully to the living God that it reverberated through your whole being, body, and soul? And Annie just made me think as I was prepping for today, do we really know how to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? I mean, I wonder if one of the reasons we've lost our fun is because we're not really entering into fully to some of these things that are really part of the faith journey.
You know, when you're exactly right. When you go back in the Bible, you know, funerals lasted for a week plus, but so did weddings, right? And now we shrink them both down to a couple of hours on a Saturday or a Friday. And so I think that's absolutely right. I think we were always meant for these experiences to be more drawn out than we let them be anymore. And so I'm not married yet. I still get to get married at some point, I hope. And I'm like, we're getting married. It's going to be 7 days. We're going to celebrate the whole 7 days. But I just think, man, there's so much to how our bodies respond. I mean, so many things that your listeners have already told us, and the ones you read from the book of my podcast listeners that got to put their what sounds fun to them in the book. So many of them involve moving your body and doing something with your body, playing drums, skating outside, going on a run. So much of it involves your body, because I do think our deepest worship is when our body and our soul and our mind, all of us, our spirit, are all doing the same thing at the same time. They're all doing the same movement. And so I think you're exactly right, that that's when our bodies really shout to the Lord and really go all in. It's when you're all focused on the same thing and you don't rush it.
So interesting. I wish I could remember the name of this personality test, but it was a spinoff of Myers-Briggs. I want to say personality hack, because I think it was. Our sons told us about it, and we like to do something different on our wedding anniversary just to kind of dig deeper and get to know each other better. And we did the personality hack test. It was so fascinating. When you are I don't remember, but like George Washington and Queen Elizabeth, that both Kev and I were very oriented, point A to point B. We've never in 36 years of marriage said, hey, I wonder where this road takes us, because we're so on task, you know. And but one thing he said for those types of personalities, if you don't open up the car door and get out and run around in the park, so to speak, with this personality hack, he said, he talked about CFOs and CEOs who never gave permission for that, because there's this weak side of your strong personality side. It's like the 3-year-old in the backseat takes the wheel and pulls you into choices that could destroy your whole reputation. And I thought it was just fascinating, especially for taskmasters, how important it is to be as intentional about that as you are about exercise, time with God. Like, it's a safety mechanism in your life. Have you learned that to be true as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I say to people a lot, when people say to me, like, I kind of do fun coaching per se, people say to me, okay, how do I even start? And really the way you start is by putting it on your calendar. It's exactly what you're saying. Actually make it a part of your life. Put a 30-minute block on your calendar on Saturday or on Sunday or maybe next Tuesday night. And then what happens is, while you are looking at that on your calendar and you say, this is when we're going to have fun, you just call it fun. Well, every day leading up to that, you're going, well, what do I do for fun? What is it that I do? What are we even going to do in that 30 minutes? Am I going to be with my friends or my family? Am I going to be alone? And so you work your way through it. And even for personalities, that's not natural to have fun. It's very natural for you to figure out how you're spending your time. And so your disciplines, like how you eat, how you sleep, how you exercise, how you work, there is a discipline of how you choose to relax and have fun, that if you will bring it into your life, you will not only learn so much about yourself, but you're going to have this additional rest and joy that gives you the strength to do the task mastering kind of work that you have the rest of the week.
Yeah, there is. And I want to say this with no condemnation, just an observation about human nature, is there is a a laziness in our souls, or maybe a lethargy is a better word, that we default to what's easier instead of what's better, whatever that might be. It might be exercise, or it might be fun, or but it's like we take the short route because, that's so much effort. But anytime you've taken the effort, made the effort to create a memory, you know, to create a moment, you're like, why don't I do that more? I mean, what is that? It's almost like this default to what's easiest, but not what's best, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true in all of our spiritual disciplines and all of our physical disciplines. Yeah. It's just a matter of going. Now, when it comes to fun, no one ever thinks of adding it as a discipline. Very rarely do they do. And when they do, they think, well, this won't be hard. Well, of course I want to have fun. But then when you really start getting into it, when you really have to think about it, when you really have to put your coat on and the long johns on and all the things so that you can go on a jog in a snowstorm, it sort of changes things from being this simple idea to like, oh, this requires something of me. And when you start asking yourself what sounds fun and really pushing into that, and then ask yourself why. Why is that what sounds fun? You're really doing some excavating work in your own heart.
Why is good. What about you, Annie? What sounds fun to you? Like, and let me ask you this, as you've really chased after this, have there been fun things that have surprised you? Like, I'm going to try this, and it turned out to be something you loved?
Yes. And thank you for asking me, because people do not ask me very much, and I'm asking all the time. Let me think. Well, today, what sounds really fun to me is my nails are, I didn't have time before this whole week got started talking about the book to get my nails done. And when I release books, I like to have artistic nails that match the book cover.
Cool.
And so I get to do that this weekend. So that sounds fun. But yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things about 2020 is I got to do a lot with new fun disciplines within my life. Because before that, I'd have told you, like, when if you just said what sounds fun to me in 2019, I'd have said, oh, man, I love flying to other cities and seeing my friends. I love eating at restaurants. I love going to concerts. I like going to the movies. And these are all things we can't do right now. And so I really had to spend a whole year. One of the reasons the book, I turned the book in a little bit late, because after, as the pandemic started, and I thought, well, we can't put this book out until we've put the like filter of a pandemic on top of it and said, is this still true? And so what ended up being fun to me last year was doing things like redesigning my porch, because I was spending a lot more time at home, and cooking in my own kitchen, because I was spending a lot more time at home. And so things that I wouldn't have identified as fun before 2020 ended up being some of the best memories of the year for me.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, I'm taking another turn. I hope it's okay. But in the book, talk about our...
All right, girl.
You're buckled up and ready to go. Love it. So in the book, you talk about a relationship with a guy that took this odd turn where he kind of went dark. He just got silent and stopped communicating. And a friend suggested you try on-site. And I'd never heard of it until I read about it in your book. But as much of that story as you're comfortable with, would you share that story? Give us context and tell us what happened.
Sure, absolutely. On-site workshops is kind of a week. One of the programs they offer is a week-long intensive counseling that kind of lets you sit in your own story for a whole week and kind of leave at the end of the week with tools and language to help you be healthier. It's not like they're trying to like totally change your life. They're just trying to change your life 2% to help you and 2 degrees kind of to help you have better language. Well, I'd been in therapy. I'm a big believer in counseling. I think it's really helpful to have someone who is on your team, who is helping you sort through things. And so I've been in counseling for a couple of years. And then that story happened that you mentioned where I just had a relationship fall apart really suddenly and really surprisingly. And what it stirred up in me ended up having nothing to do about the relationship, as things do with the Lord. You know, he's so kind that he'll let one thing stir up to tell you the other 8 things that are really needing to stir up. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened is I had my heart broken, and it ended up changing and revealing a lot of other things to me. And in that process, when that was happening, I had a friend of mine, Mike Foster, who's a great author as well. And probably a bunch of your listeners know him. Mike just said, hey, I think this is the right time for you to try on-site, for you to get away from your phone, away from your friends, kind of have this week to really sit and work through why this has caused what it's caused in your life. And my goodness, Susie, it was such a gift. I mean, it was just such a gift to get that kind of time, to get that kind of focus, to have a week where I went like, okay, Lord, heal me. Like, what are these things that are busted up in me that are causing me to feel this so deeply. And he did. I just left with, as I talk about in the book during that chapter, I left on site at the end of that week with some real tools and language and hope that I didn't have before. And I'm so thankful for it.
Boy, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. You know, Annie, you have a pretty full life, and I would think one that many would envy. I mean, pre-COVID, you're traveling all over the place writing best-selling books, and now you've got this podcast that's blown out of the water, just amazing. But I know what's true for all of us is we all have a cross to bear or a thorn that, you know,
yeah.
that really keeps us dependent on God, which is where we need to be, is dependent on him. And he uses heartbreak and different things. But if you don't mind, can you share what that's like for you? What is that thing? Is that cross or the thorn that keeps you going? It's a longing in my heart, but it does keep me pressing in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it is we all know what it's like to live with ourselves.
Yeah.
I've lived with Annie every day of 40 years. And so I know that I have inclinations to sin and to turn into other directions, you know, that my heart always is being tied back to the Lord by the Lord. And I'm so grateful. Prone to wander, I think is what we sing in the song, right? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And you know, for me, I think all of us, we're all wanters. Humans are wanters. We ate breakfast and we're going to want lunch and dinner, even though we ate breakfast. So we're allowed to want. And part of my want, I mean, I would love to get married. I'd love to have a family, and I'm 40 and that hasn't happened yet. And so that's been something that I've prayed for and hoped for and will continue to. But that's kind of the thing in me that keeps me going back to the Lord and keeps me honest with myself and with the people up close in my life of what do you do when you live with want all the time? Well, we all do. Mine just has a face and a name. Some people want their family members to get saved. Some people want to have children that haven't been able to. Some people want a different financial situation. I mean, we all want something we don't have, and that's what can keep us close to the Lord.
So true. I'm going to pause here. What I want, I struggle with sleep issues, which is connected to a chronic health issue. So I'm tired more often than I'm not. And I, you know, I see, and I have an energetic personality, but physically I don't always feel so great. And I see that in others when they've got a big spring in their step, and I long for that. And in due time, I pray it would be so. But in the meantime, you know, he keeps reminding me his grace is sufficient. So, but you're right, we're wanters. But in that time in between, we can't postpone joy. We can't postpone fun. We cannot. I think it's an act of faith to have fun. I'm talking to Annie Downs, and her book is That Sounds Fun, The Joys of Being an Amateur, The Power of Falling in Love, and Why You Need a Hobby. And I want you to talk about the power of falling in love when we come back. Annie Downs is my guest. We've got 5 copies to give away. And if you've got questions that you want to ask Annie, this last segment, I'll try to feed as many of those in as possible. 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a fun conversation with Annie Downs. Her book is titled That Sounds Fun, The Joys of Being an Amateur, The Power of Falling in Love, and Why You Need a Hobby. I've got so many texts that have come in, but I know I haven't heard from you yet. So if you've not told me what sounds fun, tell me what sounds fun to you. I love this one. I want to hug this dear gal. I'm 68 and Monday is my first day of trying pickleball. Woohoo! That's amazing. That's a total inspiration, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Wow. I love that. So talk about the power of falling in love. In that section, I loved it because you're like, I feel everything big. And yet you just really realized God wasn't trying to change you. He made you that way. But talk about the whole big feelings and the power of love.
Yeah, the power of falling in love. I mean, of course, so many of my friends who are podcast listeners and follow me around, we're kind of going, hey, is she about to announce that she's in love and we don't know it?
Yeah, right. In the book.
Right. Yeah, just read in the book. But the bigger thing is that there, when we let ourselves love, it is so vulnerable, whether it's loving pickleball or loving a person or loving a cookbook that you're trying. I mean, to really say, you know what, I love this, is to say, I am willing for you to not think I'm cool or for you to not like what I like because I am really into this thing. or this person. And so for me, what you said it perfectly, Susie. I mean, I just had this realization maybe 3 years ago. It was actually a friend of mine said to me, your feelings are always on your sleeve. You love big no matter what. And I thought, yeah, I used to kind of be embarrassed about that, kind of be like, oh man, everybody knows what I think and everybody knows what I love. And if I like a pair of shoes, everybody knows. And if I like a restaurant, everybody knows. And unfortunately, if I like a man, everybody knows. I mean, it just is, I just kind of have, I've just always been very open about how I love, and it has burned me multiple times. Of course, I mean, everyone has had those experiences, but the Lord just made me this way. I can't hide it. And for such a long time, maybe this was part of being a woman and feeling like there was one way Christian women were supposed to be. And I didn't fit quite in that box of like being quiet. And I'm just not quiet, Susie. We've been friends a long time. You know, I'm just not quiet. I just wasn't built that way. And so then when everybody at church is telling you as a youth group kid that the women are supposed to be quiet, I was confused. And that was, I mean, of course, that there was much more teaching around that. And I now understand what they were saying. But at the time I thought, I'm loud. What do I do? And everything I do is loud and big. And it was me misunderstanding the teaching and learning it as an adult of like, no, that's about your spirit, not about your mouth necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. And wow. So loving big is just what we get to do. We get to be honest about who we love, what we love, and really saying like, even with the Lord going like, Jesus, I want people to know who you are because I want people to know everything that I love. And you're the thing I love the most.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting in the last part of your subtitle there, why you need a hobby. Again, we go back to if you don't make provision for this in a healthy way, you will go into escapism in an unhealthy way because our bodies need, our souls need replenishment. And when you think about it, we keep depriving and depriving, we suddenly go places we ought not to go. And it's, I know you've seen this as well, but I've seen a number of author speakers that I've just known in the industry who are maybe 10, 15 years older than me who hit the places of burnout and then took up painting or knitting or something else and have just over and over again said, wow, this is soothing to my soul. And I love this. Leanne just texted in. She said, this is super lame, but I like to color while listening to Susie Larson live. Now, I don't think that's lame at all because that, you know, even that, just coloring and listening to something that nourishes your soul, that's caring for your soul, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And Susie, people say that stuff to me all the time. Everyone has, just like our friend just said, there's this like layer of almost of shame in front of whatever you think is fun because you think someone else is going to think it's lame. Well, we're not here to judge your fun. If you think it's fun, we believe you. We believe you. And so when we talk about what we love to do, we can kind of release that like judgment we've put on our, I mean, it's what we talked about at the beginning of like removing the judgment, the power of falling in love, even with your own desires and the and what you think is fun. And then as you walk into your hobby, you go like, hey, it's okay. I picked up cross stitching again for like, I haven't cross stitched in 30 years, probably, Susie, since my grandmother taught me when I was a kid. But I picked up cross stitching again. And I even found myself, even as like the expert on fun, I was saying to people, I mean, I haven't done this in forever. My grandmother taught me. And I was like, no, stop, Annie. Don't judge your fun. You are really loving this because it connects you to your grandmother, because you're making something that matters and you're making beautiful art. That is fun. That is great.
That's amazing. You know, I just thought of, again, I'm just my little brain science brain. I'm fascinated by it. But one of the most nourishing things you can do for your brain is it's joy and gratitude. And when you sit with a memory and you remember the memory, they actually say it raises your IQ, where if you're doing self-deprecation, self-condemnation, it's damaging to your brain. And you're sitting with a memory that makes you smile and you're remembering it. Well, I feel like what you're doing here and suggesting is that we create all kinds of memories. I mean, because you'll have the people who've had trauma have a hard time accessing memories because they need some healing first before they can get to those memories that are kind of underneath. But this really is an awesome opportunity to build memories, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you all the time when people say to me, I don't ever have fun. I don't know how to have fun. I'll say, okay, let's go back. Tell me what you did in third grade on a Saturday afternoon. And they always have, and almost every time, Susie, it's connected to one of two things. It's connected to fun with family and or being outside. Because we love memories and we love going back to the, and going like, I just finished talking to another friend of ours and on his radio show. And I said, well, what do you do for fun? And he said, I just like to listen to my records and sit and listen to a record player. And I said, okay, tell me why. And he said, well, it just reminds me of simpler times. And that's it. So often, Susie, we want to be reminded of simpler times, of family members that we've lost, of memories that we had from our childhood, and of just being outside and being in nature. I mean, we are not a difficult people. We are pretty simple people. Mm. And we love going back and connecting with those memories.
You know, you've done this podcast. You got millions and millions and millions of downloads. What is the prevailing thing you're hearing from people as they're rediscovering fun and having even just permission to pursue it?
Yes. Isn't it great? It's been, I mean, I feel like the luckiest person in the world, Susie, that I get to talk about fun all the time. I mean, what a great life I have right now. But, you know, every guest I have on, the last thing I ask them is, tell me what sounds fun to you. And over we hear different answers. There is very rarely, I mean, a political guy was on and I said, okay, tell me what you do for fun after we talked for an hour about politics. And he said, I want to go to a water park. You're like, water park? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's just amazing. So I'll tell you if I look at the theme of what I've learned across these hundreds of episodes of asking people what sounds fun to them at the end, the theme is everyone has found fun that connects with who they are specifically. And it goes back to that reminder that God has made us each so unique that just like your joys are unique and your sadnesses are unique, your fun is unique too. And that is what I've learned more than anything else, is that there is something so beautiful about how unique each of our lives are and how unique our fun is for each other.
So good. You know, this one memory I go back to again and again, just from this past summer, I love 90 and hot, and I live in Minnesota. Uh-huh. My favorite weather is humid and hot. And I, you know, after my show was over, my work was done, I put on my workout stuff, put a earbud in, and put on some my favorite worship music, and went for about a 3.5-mile brisk walk, and it was gorgeous on these trails. And then I came back and hopped in my kayak and went. And, you know, it was such healing time for me. And I started to think, just as you're talking right now, I think one of the reasons it's like, I don't know, I think about it, my soul just starts to feel at rest, is it's like, it speaks to the redemption. You know, the Bible talks about God will restore the years the enemy has stolen. And I've lost so many moments like that where I just wasn't able to do that step. So to get it and recapture it, it recaptures something that it's like a promise of things to come, you know? And I wonder how often our fun is connected to some kind of redemption that, you know, I had this once, or it speaks to me getting some land back that I feel like that enemy took from me. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I just wonder.
No, you know? I don't think you are, Susie. I think you're hitting it right on the head. That is exactly right. So often what we get to do when we have fun, when we pick a hobby, when we really dive in, is we get to redeem something that has been in our lives before. That's how I feel about cross-stitching, is I'm bringing back this hobby that I had with my grandmother 30 years ago that reminds me of a different time, a simpler time, and it is something I've brought into my today, and I'm still making things using those same skills. You are exactly right. There is a redemption story here and a freedom story here.
Hmm. I wonder if, as we wrap, if you wouldn't mind praying for the person who's just worn out and weary and knows as they're listening, this is an element missing from my life. Would you pray for that person?
Yeah. Yeah, Lord, we just invite, Holy Spirit, we just invite you in to do the work in our hearts that heals, that restores, that redeems. And God, so many of our friends are exhausted and they are, when Susie's asking them to text in, they're thinking, I don't even know what I would say. And so, Lord, we just ask that while there may be weeping in the night, the joy would come in the morning.
Yes, God.
That you would open our eyes to what is fun right in front of us, that there is something right here that will remind us of who you are and your kindness to us specifically. I pray that people would start having memories and start having even these moments that are happening there every day. They go, oh, this is what Annie and Susie were talking about.
Yes,
this
Lord.
Is that moment. And God, would you meet them right there? We just ask that you would use every minute of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love you, Annie. Please come back. This was fantastic.
Thank
you for the
time
today, hon.
I'm so grateful.
Wow. Wow. Hope you found some encouragement here today, friends. And you know what your assignment is. Go have some fun. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.